whether that would help us understand the Kalim v'Chamurim, and I wasn't able to get to a better understanding than the one that we had, but I'm sure that there's much more to be said about the world of Kapara, but I don't know how to help. Okay, we left off on the Mishnah Daf Lamed Chesem at Aleph. Narush and Isarsa Vinis Garsha. We have a very, very unique situation where we have a Na'ara who in the past had gone through a process of Erusin and Gerushin, and now she is a victim of Itur or an Ones. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Ein Laknas. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yesh Laknas, Uknas Ala Atzma. Before we get involved in the Machlokes, Rabbi Yosef Guli and Rabbi Akiva, I think that it's fair to ask, what exactly is this Mishnah doing here? I mean, we the first two Mishnayos of the Perek, Kaf Tes Amud Aleph and Kaf Tes Amud Beis, dealt with the world of Knas, of Ones and the Fata, in terms of the victim, in terms of what types of women do get Knas, what types of women don't get Knas. And we had principles. We had principles of Chiyuvei Lavin, Chiyuvei Krisus, Chiyuvei Mises Bezdin. We had principles. If we move over, look for a minute at the next Mishnah, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, we continue with the principles. Amafata Nosen Shlosha Dvarim, Ha'ones Arba, and we move over into what exactly is being paid and the basic difference between Ones and Knas. And then afterwards, on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, we move into Pratim, Yisomash and Isarsa and Isgarsha v'chulei. Why is this Mishnah, and Daf Lamed Chesem at Aleph, why was it stuck in here when we're still dealing with the rules, we're still dealing with the principles? In other words, we have, after the principles, we can deal more with the details. The details of when we have a particular unique history. Later on we're going to see Yisomash and Isarsa and Isgarsha. Here we're dealing with the Bat, and then the details of Boshes and the details of Pgam. So Rashi Lechora was bothered by this, and he gives two answers, not just one answer, but two answers. Look in Rashi, Ramaskel Shinis Arsa Vinisgarsha, the first Rashi, the Ilu Arusa Shilonisgarsha, Chayav Misa V'Einsham Knas. Namely, that this continues the principle of the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah ended with the concept of Kamlei Bidaraba Minei, that when we have a Chiyuv Misa on the table, then there is no Knas, and that would include a case of Na'ara She Arusa. We'll see that a little later on in the Gemara, that in such a situation there would not be Knas. And so over here we simply have a mirror image of the previous principle in the Mishnah, namely that we're saying if she's Arusa, then that we'd have Kamei D'Rav Minei. But what if she's Nisarsa V'Nisgarsha, then we have a Machlokas. But the second Rashi also gives an alternate reason. Ein Laknas, Taima Mefarish B'Gemara, fine. V'Reisha D'Katani, Eishes Achiv, V'Eishes Achi Aviv, V'Nisarsa V'Nisgarsha Askinan, V'Katani Yeshlem Knas Rabbi Akiva. Namely, we're still missing a prat from the Mishnah on Daf Kaftes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on Daf Kaftes Amud Aleph was listing cases of Arayot, and it listed cases of women who were related by marriage. Right? The Eishes Achiv is related by marriage. The Eishes Achi Achiv is related by marriage. But the Mishnah over there states, Yesh Lehem Knas. If they're married, then we have a case of Misa. Then that's not a case of Knas. Then there's Misa to live with a married woman. So the only understanding of the Mishnah Daf Kaftes Amud Aleph, if we explain Na'ara Shenis Arsa Venis Garsha, then we have a sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Namely, to understand the first, namely that this Mishnah is brought either to understand the previous Mishnah or to understand the first Mishnah. Either it's brought as a Hemshech, according to Rashi, of the world of Kamei Midrabim Minei, that's the first Rashi, or it's brought to give us the Ukimta of the first Mishnah. How do you have a married woman where there's a Knas? They were dealing with, she has a history of being married. She was Eishes Achiv, and then she was divorced. And then we have the world of Knas according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, and then just in terms of the placement. The Gemara was bothered, what over here is the machlokis between Rav Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva? My time of Rav Yossi HaGlili? So the Gemara says, simple, Amar Kra, Asher Lo Arasav. We look at, I gave you a page that I quoted the Psukim. We have two parshios, the parsha of Mefata in Knas, in Mishpatim, and the parsha of Ones in Devarim. And in both of those parshas, it says, Asher Lo Arasa, that we have a condition that the woman is not married halachically. Right? The Erusin over here is what we call Kedushin, that we don't have a halachic marriage yet. Then she gets a knas. So Amar Rav Yossi, Asher Lo Arasa, ha Arasa, the language of the Pasuk is past tense, that she had not been married. Ha Arasa, had she been married, Ein La Knas. That's a simple diuk in the Pasuk. Rabbi Akiva, Asher Lo Arasa L'Aviha, Ha Arasa L'Atzma. And Rabbi Akiva also learns a drasha, but not in a drasha of exclusion, but a drasha of a distinction. We have a distinction that in the case of Asher Lo Arasa, the Torah tells us, then Kesef Yishkol, the father gets the money. In a case of Arasa, then not the father gets the money, but she would get the money. Ha Arasa La'atzma. But the Gemara then asks, since when do we take the words of the Torah in this parsha in that direction, that the conditions that are mentioned should not be exclusive? Ela me'ata na'ara velo bogeres hachanami de la'atzma, that we have in the parsha of Dvarim, it says, ki imtza ish na'ara besuga. Would anyone say that, oh, na'ara, then it goes to the father. If she's a bogeret, then it goes to her. If there's a bogeret, there's no knas at all. If a bogeret, there's no knas at all. I'm sorry, there aren't enough pages? If you look on it, what? Okay. If there's a bogeret, then there's no knas at all. Hachinami dela, okay? V'besula, v'lo be'ula. In other words, that we have the word, ki yifata ish besula. Would we say that besula means, if she's a besula, then her father gets the money. If she's a be'ula, hachinami dela atzma, that we would view it not as an exclusion, but we view it simply that we'd have over here a distinction. Ela legamrei, hachinami legamrei. So just as we understand the word besula as exclusive, we understand the word na'ara as exclusive, we should understand the word asher lo arasa as exclusive. You only have a knas if we have the conditions of na'ara, we have the conditions of besula, and we have the conditions of asher lo arasa. Very powerful question of the Gemara on Rabbi Akiva. Amalach Rabbi Akiva, hai lo orasa mi boile lichedetanya. We have to understand things in a broader context. And not everything is so simple as it appears on the surface. That we have a following braisa, asher lo orasa prat lena'ara shenis arsem and isgarasha she'en laknas divrei Rav Yossi HaGlili. Okay, Rav Yossi HaGlili has no issues, right? Where his drasha is very, very, very clear. In the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva says, Yesh l'knas u'knasa l'aviha. It appears, again, we're going to see that we have a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, the Braisa, but Rabbi Akiva clearly disagrees with the diuk of Rav Yossi HaGlili. V'hadin nosei, ho'il v'aviha zakai b'kesef kidusheha, Va'aviyah zakai v'kesef k'nasa, ma kesef kidusha afal pishinis arsa v'nisgarsha la'aviha, af kesef k'nasa afal pishinis arsa v'nisgarsha la'aviha. Rabbi Akiva points out, we have a very powerful svara, that the fact that she had been married, and married on the level of Erusin, and Megureshet, the father is still in the picture. She's still, in other words, she's still a Nara. She's still at the age where Benu Reha Beisavia, where the father is still in the picture. Were she to get remarried, the father would get the Kesef Kedushin. So if she is raped or she is seduced, the father should get the Knas. Namely, what took him out of the picture? What would take the father out of the picture? One of two things. Either, one of three things, really. If the what? If he dies, right? That's one way of taking the father out of the picture. If he dies, he's not in the picture, clearly, correct? But if the father is alive, do we have a concept of the father being out of the picture? If she was not just Ureset, but she was Nisua. If we would have a case of Na'ara She Nisua Vinit Garsha, that's what we call a Yesoma B'chayei Ha'av. The Nisuin, that would take the father out of the picture altogether. But as long as all we have is Erusin, the father is still in the picture. In Hafaras Nedarim, he's still in the picture. In terms of receiving Kedushin, he's still in the picture. And so Rabbi Akiva has a powerful svara. Why take the father, according to the Braisa, why take the father out of the picture? But Rabbi Yosef Glili should not face one iota. He says, I'm not working on svara. What am I working off of? In other words, I'm not saying what I'm saying, al pisvara, that the father somehow disappeared. The Torah says that Erusin breaks the connection of the father to the Knas, period. According to Yuli, breaks the connection to the Knas altogether. There's simply no Knas when a case of lo rasa. And so you come to me with as many svaras as you want, right? To the very, very famous story of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker. That once he asked his Talmidim to prove to him from using their logic that Chametz is Mutar on Pesach. And so everyone came up with a different hesber of how Chametz is Mutar on Pesach. And he said, I don't understand what's wrong with you. The Torah says you can't eat Chametz on Pesach. You can't use logic against the Torah. Logic is only within the halacha. You can't use logic to create a halacha. And so over here, how does Rabbi Akiva's logic go against the Pesach in the Torah? So Rabbi Akiva answers, Mufne le hakishlo v'gadon mimenu gzeira shava. That the Torah is nidreshet in 13 ways. One of those methods is gzeira shava. And over here, the gzeira shava is going to override the pshat in the pasuk. As to whether this is a possibility, the Gemara will talk about in the Amud Beis. But asher lo arasa is not used for the diuk that were she to be arusa in the past, then there would be no knas, but rather it's used to teach us a very powerful halacha which is missing in the Torah. Ne'emar kana shelo orasa v'ner lo halana shelo orasa. Look at the two parshiyos that we photostated for you. In both of them it says, ashelo orasa, ki yifate ish besuga, ashelo orasa, ki imsa ishna ara besuga, asher lo orasa. This will help us understand what is the nature of the knas. Makan Chamishim, in the second parasha, it mentions the number, Chamishim Kesef. In the first parasha, it doesn't say. It simply says, Kesef Yishkol, Kumar Abisos. We don't know how much. Makan Chamishim, Afgahalan Chamishim. So we're going to take the number and move it from the second parasha to the first parasha. Umagahalan Shkalim, and just as in the first parasha, it says Yishkol, means that we're dealing with a certain type of coin, afkan shkalim. In the second parasha, it simply says chamishim kesef. We don't know what denomination of kesef. So since the first parasha deals with shkalim, so that will help us in the second parasha. So we get the number from the second parasha. We get the currency from the first parasha. We put them together. We now have a knas of chamishim shkalim in each parasha. That's why we use asher lo arasa. And it is not free to be medayek or Rav Yosef Gili's diuk that there is not going to be a knas had there been arusa. Rabbi Akiva, my chazis da shergo orasa ligzeira shava ubesula lemiute beula. If we're looking for psuk for words that'll connect the two parshios, so it's correct. Ashergo orasa is a phrase that connects the two parshios, but we also have the word besula that connects the two parshios. Maybe the word besula is to teach us the gzera shava of the chamishim and the shkalim, and the asher lo arasa is to teach us a halacha. Ha orasa, then there's no knas. Rabbi Akiva, my chazis, the asher lo arasa gzera shava, besula miyute beula, ema besula le gzera shava, va asher lo arasa, prat le na'ara shenisarsa ve nisgarsha. That maybe we can still learn the drasha of Rav Yossi HaGlili and use the word besula for the Gzeira Shava, and then you understand what the Gemara is at this point heading towards, and we'll see this black and white in the Tosas Yeshanim in a little while, is that then were you to be Boel a Na'ara Bu'ula, she would get a Knas. As long as she's a Na'ara, as long as she is Odlo Orasa, the fact that she's a Bu'ula, that's not relevant. The Bu'ula, the word Besula, we're going to use for Gzeira Shava. And we'll say that just as, according to our understanding of Rabbi Akiva, the Asher Lo Orasa is irrelevant, how do you know that's irrelevant? Maybe the word Besula is irrelevant, and you're Chayav the Knas even on a Bu'ula. No, says the Gemara, Mistabra Asher Lo Orasa Gzeira Shava, Hareini Kore Ba Na'ara Besula. In other words, if we have to try to understand the category which is going to get the Knas, so there are lechora three conditions over here. Which conditions are the Iker and which are is somewhat Tafel, so that she should be a Na'ara, that she should be of marriageable age, and this person who is Ones or Mefata is messing up her chances of getting married. That's important. She should be a Besula. She should be on a level of purity, and this person is now messing her up. He's making her pogum. That's a powerful ingredient. But Asher Lo Orasa, that she was never technically, again, Erusin is a technical matter. She was never technically married. That we can use for the Gzeira Shava. So Gemara says, no. Adarabba. Besula Gzeira Shava, Shahareni Kore Ba Asher Lo Orasa. Maybe we have the wrong perspective. Maybe in the Torah's perspective, a woman who's already technically married, she's already used goods, even though her body hasn't been touched, but she's already used goods. And that would be a reason not to give her a knas. But the fact that she happens to be a Ba'ula, but she was never married, so she's still considered to be very, very attractive, that she had never been married previously. Maybe our understanding of the mishkal, of the weight of these factors, is wrong. So Gemara says, Mistabra, if we have to look and try and understand what would be a svara pshuta, ha, by the bu'ula ishtani gufa. In other words, if we're dealing with two factors, one factor in terms of her body, and one factor in terms of her legal status. And we're asking which of these factors is more relevant, that her body was violated or that her legal status was violated, right? That she, you know, it's that is it more relevant that she turned from a besula to a bu'ula, or is it more relevant that she turned from a penuya into an arusa? So we mistabra ho ishtani gufa, ho lo ishtani gufa. So the Gemara says it makes much more sense to say that the ishtani gufa, that which happened to her body, is a much more relevant factor. And therefore, the word besula, we're going to say besula as opposed to bu'ula. And the asher lo orasa, that's a technical factor. According to Rabbi Akiva, we'll use that for the gzeira shava. Okay, very, very fine. V'rav Yossi haglili haisvara minale. Now, Rabbi Akiva pointed out that we have a tremendous lacuna in our knowledge in terms of the payment, in terms of the amount of the knas. That one parasha speaks about chamishim. We have no idea chamishim what? Chamishim jelly beans? We don't know. Okay, it says chamishim kesef, but does it mean 50 pennies, 50 nickels, 50 quarters? There's a lot of types of kesef. The other parasha speaks about yishkol, speaks about shkolim, gives us the currency, doesn't give us a number. And so Rabbi Akiva said we need a drasha, so we have a gzera shava. That takes away that pulls the rug out from underneath Rav Yosef Aglili. What is Rav Yosef Aglili haisvara minale? Where does he learn out the value of the knas? Nafgale minatanya, Rav Yosef Aglili says, we have another source, kesef yishkol, kemoar habesulos, shiyeheze kemoar habesulos, umoar habesulos kazeh. That the Torah tells us in the parsha of Mefata that the knas is going to equal the amount which is given to a besula. And the understanding of the Braisa was, what is this amount which is given to a besula? Under what circumstances? And we were going to say, if someone seduces a besula, he's going to pay the amount which is given to a besula. What amount which is given to a besula? Under what conditions? Under onas, had she been raped. Namely, kamor habesulas, whatever the knas is going to be by a rape, that's what it's going to be by a seduction. The result is the same. This woman is now not as marriageable as she had been previously, and so therefore a knas is shayach, and it's going to be the same knas. So we already have that that parallelism between the two parshios. Moar habesulos relates to the parasha of Ones, and so we combine the shkolim of Mefata, the 50, the chamishim of the parasha of Ones, and everything is fine and good. Sheheze kamoar habesulos umoar habesulos kazeh. You see on the side of the Gemara, it says that this braisa we saw in the brackets on daf kaftes amadeis. The first time it's mentioned is le'el daf yud amad aleph, where there is an alternate explanation for moar habesulos, which is mentioned over here by the Tosfos Yishanim on top of the page. You saw it mentioned by the Rashba, which I focused at it for you. What's another alternative of moar habesulos? What else is given to a besula aside from a knas if she is raped? Ksuva. That maybe moar habesulos means ksuva. That in other words, the Torah is telling us that if someone seduces a woman, he owes her the money that her husband would have given her in her ksuva. Right? In other words, if we say that way, then certainly there would be no... This is not Rav Yosef Glickli, right? This is not the Braisa. The Braisa is saying Moar HaBesulos connects Mefata to Ones. But there's another option that Moar HaBesulos could mean a ksuva. It's something else which is given to a besula. The difference between these two approaches, of course, you realize is a very, very powerful difference. Is a ksuva a concept d'oraisa, or is a ksuva a din d'rabanan? We know that there's a svara behind the ksuva to give a woman an insurance policy. Is that something that is the Torah created, or is something rabanan created? So we don't find the ksuva mentioned black and white in the Torah, but maybe this phrase, Moar HaBesulos, indicates to us that there is a concept of ksuva midoraisa. I'm mentioning all this parenthetically. We'll come back to when we get to Tosfos Yishanim and to the Rashba. But, in other words, the Braisa offers one understanding of Moar HaBesulos. Yitachein, that there is another understanding. Who, in other words, again, continuing the parenthetical thought, who would understand, or who would likely understand Moar HaBesulos as meaning ksuva, as opposed to Moar HaBesulos being the source of the amount of the knas? Rav Yosef Glickli says that's the source of the amount of the knas. But who has a different source for the amount of the knas? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva learns the amount of knas is learned from the Asher Lo Orasa, Asher Lo Orasa. What does he do with the phrase Moar HaBesulos? So it could very well be that he would be the author of the Shita, the ksuva d'oraisa. But that would be, of course, you realize, tremendously powerful halachic statement, because we paskin like Rabbi Akiva in our sugya, and that would be that we'd be paskining like Rabbi Akiva in terms of ksuva being midaraisa, and then we'd all have to check our ksuvas. What exactly does it say in our ksuva? Which a lot of it has to do with where we were married. In other words, that in chutz la'aretz the ksuva say matayim zuz the chazi lichi Mida Oraisa, that the ksuvas of Chutz La'aretz assume that we paskin that ksuva is the Oraisa. That's not so pasha. It's a melchokes chachmei Ashkenaz and chachmei Sfarad. We're going to see in a little while in the Rashba. And so the ksuvas in Eretz Yisrael simply say the chazi lichi. In other words, that the rabbanut here, nachon, that there is an Ashkenazi and a Sfaradi Rav, but there's one ksuva generally which is generated by the lishka of the rabbanut of every city. There's you go to rabbanut of Yerushalayim, you're going to get a ksuva, which is good for Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. And so, generally, in order to make the balance, they simply write the chazi lichi, not midoraisa. That's not so pashat. It's a machokus in the Gemara. It's a question of what moar habesulos means. Okay, end of the parenthesis. Okay. Tov. So everyone agrees that we have a din, that we have a uniform knas. According to Rav Yosef Gluli, it's learned from Mora Basulos, but according to Rabbi Akiva, it's learned out from Asher Lo Orasa. But the Gemara was bothered, Kasha de Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. Now we understand Rabbi Akiva Shita much better, right? We know why he ignores the Pasuk Asher Lo Orasa, because in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva explained. But the Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa is not the same as Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah says, who gets the Knas in the case of Nis'arasa and Nis'garasha? In the Mishnah? She does. And in the Braisa? The father does. Kasher Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. Again, according to Rabbi Yosef Gluli, no one gets it, right? So according to Rabbi Yosef Gluli, Asher Lo Orasa is used to say that the moment that she had been technically married, there's no knas. Rabbi Akiva says there is a knas, but who gets it? We have a stira. Trei Tanoi, Aliba, the Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had a lot of students. Many of them died, but we had five of them that he taught afterwards, and those are the ones who were Ma'amid Torah B'Yisrael, the Gemara in Yevamos, and the students differed as to what they heard from their Rebbe. So we have Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah and Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. Bishlama Rabbi Akiva de Masnisin lo asya gzera shava umafkila kra mipashte legamre. Ela Rabbi Akiva de Braisa asya gzera shava umafki mipashte legamre. Namely, pashte legamre is that asher lo orasa plays a role. Right? In other words, it says, Na'ara Basula Asher Lo Orasa. Kaner'eh, that it plays a role. And so even if you're going to use it for Gzeira Shava, it should still play a role. And so according to Rabbi Akiva, it plays a role. There is a distinction that if we're dealing with a woman who was never married, never Mu'rasa, the Knas goes to the father. We're dealing with a woman who was already Orasa, the Knas goes to her. So we have a Pashte Dikra. In other words, the Torah tells us that there's a difference between Asher Lo Orasa and Orasa. But according to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, whether she was Mu'rasa previously or not, in both cases the father gets the Knas. So what do we do over here with Pashte Dikra? We're going to say that the Gzeira Shava overrides Pashte Dikra totally. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kari Bey, Asher Lo, not Orasa, but Arusa. We're not talking about past tense, we're talking about present tense. We're not talking about the fact that she had been Arusa, Vinisgarsha. There really there's no difference. But in a case where she is currently Arusa, then there is a difference. Namely, that what's the halacha if a person were to be seduce a woman who is currently Arusa, would she get a knas? No. That's what the Torah is telling us. Asher Lo Orasa, she gets a knas. If currently she's Arusa, she doesn't get a knas. So Gemara says, for that you need a pasuk? Arusa baskilahi. We already learned the principle that whenever there is a chiyuv misa, there's no knas. We don't need a separate pasuk for that. No, we do need a separate pasuk. Salka daita chamina ho v'chidushu shechid shetara b'knas afa gav de miktal meshalem. We would have thought maybe the din of kamei midrabani applies to mama. It knocks off mammon, but over here we're talking about knas. Maybe when the Torah is machayev knas, it's even in a case where there's a chiyuv misa, that's the nature of the fine, that it goes above and beyond the regular dinim of mammonos, and that's why we need the pasuk. Ula rabba damar chidushu shechid shetorah b'knas afagav demiktal b'shalem, mai ika lemeimer. According to Rabba, had she been really orasa, then she would get a knas. It wouldn't be an exception. What then does he do? What does Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa do according to Rabbah? Or what does Rabbah do according to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa? Savalok Rabbi Akiva de Masnisin. We don't want to set up Rabbah like Rabbi Yosef Haglili. Right? That's a Das Yachid. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but we have two versions of Rabbi Akiva. The stira is between the version of the Braisa and Rabbah, but Rabbah works very well with the version of Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, that Asher Lo Orasa relates to past tense, and there's a distinction between a woman who had never been legally married, that Knas goes to the father, and a woman who had been legally married, that Knas will go to her. Tana Rabbanan Knasa Lemi, La'aviya V'yishamrim La'atzma. La'atzma Amai. The Braisa appears to be talking about the regular Knas. Regular Knas, the Torah says, black and white. whether we're dealing with the mafate or whether we're dealing with the ones, the money is given avi hanara to the father. So why in the world would she get the money? What does it mean? Knasa lumi. Amar Rav Chista hacha the brisa is an ukimta nara shenis arsa v'nisgarsha askinan. And what are these two deos in the brisa? Rabbi Akiva de Masnisen, Rabbi Akiva de Braisa. Namely, that this particular Tana de Rabbanan did not pass the Rabbi Yosef Glili, but within Rabbi Akiva, we have two opinions. Adkan, okay, this is simply classic Shakla Vitaria. Here we have a number of issues that we're going to deal with. We'll take them. We'll deal with three. With basically, the Rishonim were bothered over here by one question that has a number of applications. The one question that the Rishonim were bothered by was how in the world do you learn out two halachos from one drash, from one pasuk? How can you use a pasuk for more than one principle? We already saw we need nara, hanara, besula, besulos, habesulos, that we have to have a separate ribui or a separate miut for everything we want to learn out. Here, we are taking a phrase and using it for more than one purpose, and that applies a number of times over and over within the sugya. The most blatant is our psak. We paskin, like Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. Namely, we paskin that if a woman had been mu'urasa and nitgarsha, there is a knas, and who does it go to? It goes to? Atzma. It goes to her. What else, and where do we learn that from? That it sort of says, asher lo orasa, then it goes to the father. Ha orasa, it goes to her. But what else do we learn out, according to Rabbi Akiva, from the phrase asher lo orasa? Chamishim shekel. How do we learn from the same phrase, asher lo orasa, two different dinim? One of them in the realm of the quantity of the knas, and the other in terms of who receives the knas. It's just one phrase. How do you use the same phrase, both for gzeira shava, and for an exclusion? That's exactly, you know, what we pointed out within Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva says, we need the phrase asher lo orasa for the quantity of the knas. So therefore, in terms of the woman, whether she had been technically married or not, doesn't make a difference. The money goes to the father because we have no drash. And here we're, according to Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, we're using the same three words for distinguishing between asher lo orasa and orasa, and for the amount of the knas. That bothered Rashi, that bothered the Tosfos HaRosh, and that bothered the Rashba and those that he quotes, okay? So let's see how each of them dealt with this question in a different manner. Let's look in Rashi. Rashi smack in the middle of the thin lines on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Dibur Hamaskil lo asya gzeira shava umafke lekra mipashte legamrei. Rashi says, da asa pashte lashmeinan ho arasa la'atzma. Namely, that we have the gzeira shava in terms of the quantity of the knas, and we also have what we call pashte of the pasuk. The pashte of the pasuk teaches us a halacha that if she had been orasa, then the knas had she not been orasa, the knas goes to the father. However, had she been orasa, the knas goes to her. How do we learn out these two halachas? So Rashi gives us two alternatives. V'chad minayhu le'ifnuye, iname lo mufne leka lemifrach mide. What in the world is Rashi talking about in this very Sphinx-like manner of talking? What's he referring to over here? So you should be aware that there is a Gemara in Nida on Daf Kaf Beis Amud Beis through Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. There's a sugya over there that deals with the nature of Gzeira Shava. And the Gemara over there points out that we have, within the world of Gzeira Shava, it means that we are comparing two psukim. Right? And we have a similar phrase, a similar turn of words in two places in the Torah. And we say that we compare these two halachically. That's Gzeira Shava. So we have one situation where both psukim are mufne. That the phrase that we're using is not necessary for any other purpose. It's open. It's mufne. It's waiting for a drasha. So when we have that both of these psukim are mufnim, we have trei mufne, then dorshim, then we're dorish the gzeira shava, below show alin. And we don't ask questions on this gzeira shava. Even if it appears that these two areas, logically there's room to distinguish, this is a valid gzeira shava. This gzeira shava overrides questions. What if we have a situation of one of these two is mufne, but the other is used for a purpose? Then we have a machlokes tanoim. We have one Tana who says, in this case, Dorshim v'lo sho'alim. As long as one of the two is open, then even if these two areas, we could have a pircha, we could have a powerful question. This is an area of kal, this is an area of chamor, how do you compare them? No, as long as one of these two phrases is extra, so Dorshim v'lo sho'alim. And there's another Tana who says that in this case, Dorshim, Aval Sho'alim. In other words, if the two realms are exactly similar, then we learn the Gzera Shava. But if there's room to distinguish, we'll break the Gzera Shava. What if we have a case of Afachad Lo Mufna? That these phrases are used for other purposes. They're not open, they're not waiting for a drasha. Then we have, this is all a Sugya Nida. I think it's Kaf Beis through Kaf Gimel, maybe Kaf Aleph through Kaf Beis. It's that area. Okay, here we have a Machlokes Amora. One Amora says in this case, Dorshim v'sho'alim. We can make a Gzera Shava, but if there's a distinction between the two areas, if we have a Pircha, that'll knock it off. And the other one says, nothing doing. If we don't have any Mufna, ain't Dorshim. Then there is no Gzeira Shava. This is the background that Rashi came to our sugya. He knew the sugya in Nida, and he says, in our sugya, we are dealing with the phrase Asher Lo Orasa. Correct? This phrase, how many times do we find it? How many psukim do we have? We have two psukim, right? Asher Lo Orasa is in Shmos. Asher lo rasa is in Dvarim. We're dealing with two psukim. So Rashi says, let's go back to Rashi. So Rashi says, v'chad mitravayu le'afnuye. Namely, we ask the question, how can we learn from this pasuk? Asher lo orasa, two different nim. How can we learn two different dinim? How can we learn both the gzeira shava on the quantity and also learn that there's a difference as to who is the receiver of the payment, whether it's a case of lo orasa or a case of orasa? How do we learn two things from the same pasuk? Rashi says very simple. How many psukim do we have? We have two psukim. So one of these two psukim is used to learn out one halacha, and the other one is learned out to learn the other halacha. So then we have a case where one of the psukim is mufne for the gzeira shava, and the other pasuk we use for the principle of lo orasa and orasa. Namely that once we have two psukim, we don't have to have that both of them are mufne. As long as one of them is mufne, that's enough. So Rashi says, chad mitravayu. We have two psukim. As long as one of these two psukim is open for the gzeira shava, that's fine. So one pasuk over here we're going to use for the din of orasa, then the money goes to the atzma, and lo orasa, it goes to her father. And the second one we're going to use for the Gezeirah Sheva of Chamishim Shekel. So one of these two psukim is mufne, and one of them is used. Fine. No problem. That's what Rashi says. Chad mitravayu afnuye. Inami lo mufne. Even if you want to say that we don't really, that this drasha is used up by Atzma and Aviha, and it's not free, even though we have two psukim, no sweat. Leka lemifrach midei. We paskin dorshin b'sho'olim, but we have no pircha. Ones and Mefata are so similar to one another in terms of the chumra of the Aveira. We're dealing with a girl who was taken advantage of. We're dealing with the same results. So this makes sense that we should have the same knas. It makes sense that we should, that we would make a gzeira shava. So, in other words, we could say that we're dealing with only with category two. One of them is mufne, and then we're doresh. Or maybe we're dealing even where none of them are mufne, and still there's a daya that we're doresh as long as there's no pircha. That's how Rashi gets out of the question. Okay? That we can really, from this pasuk of Asher lo orasa, learn out two dinim within the world of Gzeira Shava. Gzeira Shava doesn't need that, we don't learn anything else out, we just need that one of the two psukim be mufna. Here, if we have two psukim, one of them is mufna. However, that's not the way that later Rishonim learned, neither in the Tosos HaRosh, nor in the Rashba. They say that we're dealing over here with one pasuk. Right? We're talking in the parsha of Mefata. We're talking in the parsha in Shmos. That's the parsha that we're talking about. We're not talking about the parsha of Ones. We're dealing with these words, Asher lo orasa, what does it mean in the parsha of Mefata? We're dealing with one pasuk. How can you learn out two halachos from one pasuk? So let's look together at the Tosfos HaRosh. He says, Temali, I don't understand. What is, you know, is the Gemara wants to understand the Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. So it brings in Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. So Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa is fine. He is very, very focused. He says the word Asher lo orasa means Gzeira Shava. And he doesn't have the second halacha. He doesn't have a distinction between orasa and lo orasa. In both of them, it goes to the father. Aval, moving to the middle of the second line, Rabbi Akiva de Masnisin Isle Knasa La'atzman, Ken Hechi Dorish Mine Gzeira Shava. How can you learn a Gzeira Shava from a pasuk which is not muftin at all? We need this pasuk to teach us the distinction between orasa and lo orasa. That's the question that bothered Rashi. Rashi didn't say it black and white, but the question is asked over here black and white by the Tosfos HaRosh. So what he answers, and the question is a powerful question. Rashi said, let's bring in another pasuk. And once we have two pasukim, everything is fine. That's not the direction of the Tosfos HaRosh. But rather he says, in the end of the third of the fourth line down, Aval hashta didarshina asher lo orasa la'aviha ha'orasa la'atzma. Again, this is Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. V'lo mafkinan la midin knas ha'amor ba'parsha. Akate nuchal lidrosh imenu gizera shava. The haidrosha da'orasa la'atzma memela mishtama. What he wants to say is that there are drushas and there are drushas. A drusha that doesn't lend itself to be doubled is a drusha that would be dealing with something which is not necessarily fitting into the words. Something that we're adding in. We can't add in two different things. However, this distinction, asher lo orasa, that it goes to the father, ha orasa, it goes to her. This is what the Tosfos HaRosh calls Mela Mishtama. This is Pshuto Shel Mikra. This is just reading the words. So we have, there's no problem of having Mela Mishtama and having a drush. If you want to, it's Pshat and Drush. It's not two drushes. This is Mela Mishtama. This is simply the literal meaning of the words. A woman who is not Orasa, her father gets the money. Ha, the diyuk is orasa. She'll get the money. That's memela mishtama. That's something which is obvious within the words. So you don't need an imprimatur of Chazal in order to say that. Anyone can say that. Memela mishtama. The gzera shava. That's her drash. So we have over here really one drasha and one memela mishtama. Again, according to Rashi, we had two drashas, but we have two psukim, so there's no issue. According to Tosafot Rashi, we're not dealing with two psukim, we're dealing with one pasuk. But there's no problem of having a pshat and a drash. Just like we can add on, there's also a remez, there's also a sod. But on the level of drash, you can't have two drashas. But this is what he calls memela mishtama. Again, this is something which is very, very subjective. What is considered to be the obvious meaning and what is considered to be a drasha of Chazal, but that's the direction in which the Tosas HaRash takes us. We look at Rashba, he goes in a different direction altogether, in the name of Rav Shlomo ben Avraham mi Montpellier. Montpellier, there is an area of Provence, that part of northern Spain and southern France, where the Bal Hamor, the Ravid, the Meiri, that was their home territory. So there's also a Perush called Rav Avraham Min Ahar. We have such a Perush on a number of Masechtos. Min Ahar, he came from the mountain, he came from Montpellier. So here he had a son, Shlomo. Shlomo ben Avraham Montpellier. Okay? Shlomo, the son of Avraham Min Ahar, that he had a different take on our sugya, and the Rashba was very, on one hand, enamored with it, on the other hand, he was not thrilled with it. Is that possible to say? In other words, it solved issues that the Rashba had been bothered by, but the question is this really what the Gemara means? So the question he starts off with him kein mata modama shelo rosa mufne ladun mimena ladun zera shava nemar kan vechule. Namely, he quotes the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva the Braisa. Ikula meida kakaimalan ka Rabbi Akiva. We paskel like Rabbi Akiva. Which Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. V'im kein ashelo orasa l'gzera shava. V'anan b'chol tamuda amrinan mor ha-besulos l'gzera shava. That the drusha of what appears to be drusha of our Gemara of Yossi Aglili, that appears to be the main drusha. And this ashelo orasa Rabbi Akiva is not found elsewhere in Shas, but Moar Besulos is found on Daf Yud and on Daf Kaftes and here. And if Rabbi Akiva is not going to use Moar HaBesulos, then we get stuck in the whole issue of Ksuva Dorais and Ksuva Drabanan that we mentioned early parenthetically. All of this bothered the Rashba. So with this background, he says, V'raisi b'shem Rav Shlomo b'Ravram mi Montpellier, the Iker Gzera Shava l'Rabbi Akiva Vadai mi kamoar habasulos nafkale, Rabbi Akiva de Masnisen. That he says that we have it all upside down. That we have over here two Rabbi Akivas. We have Rabbi Akiva de Braisa, and we have Rabbi Akiva de Mishnah. To learn out from Asher lo orasa, the Gzeira Shava of Chamishim Shekel, that is said black and white by Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. He uses Asher lo orasa for the Chamishim Shekel. He's the source of this Gzeira Shava. However, even though the way all other Rishonim was that Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah also learned that, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara asked a question of Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, and it brought in the Braisa. So can Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah also use it? He says, no. Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah uses Moar HaBesulos as the source of the Gzeira Shavah. This is the source of the Chamishim Shekel. And what does he do with the Asher Lo Orasa? Asher Lo Orasa, that's to teach us the Halacha, that when she's Lo Orasa, the money goes to the father. Ha Orasa, the money goes to her, to Atzma. That's the Rabbi Akiva. This is the Psak Halacha, that we don't learn out two things from the same pasuk. We learn now from Moer Habasulos the din of the Chamishim Kesef, and from Asher Larasa we only learn one halacha, a distinction between her and her father. If she had been Mu'reset, then she gets the money. If she's not Mu'reset, then the Torah says the father gets the money. But we don't learn out two things from the same pasuk. We have two different psukim. That's the pshat of Rav Shlomo Minhag. The Gemara says, doesn't say that. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah understood like Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. That's only in one small area. What one small area? If you have to choose what you're going to use for a drasha, would you choose Asher Lo Orasa, or would you choose Besula? Then they both agree, Vada, you use Asher Lo Orasa. Because Besula, that's a Shinui Baguf. The Shinui Baguf, that's certainly pshat, that a Besula gets the Knas and not a Be'ula. That's where Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah and Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa coincide. But as to what really is the source of the Gzera Shava, on that they disagree. On that they disagree. To read it inside, Iker Gzera Shava Rabbi Akiva Vade Kamor HaBesulos Nafkalei K'Rabbi Akiva Demas Nisim De Lesle Gzera Shava Ela Legufe. The Rabbi Akiva uses the words Asher Lo Orasa Legufe to teach us the principle that we distinguish between her and her father. Lashminan Asher Lo Orasa La'aviyah HaRusa La'atzma. How did Rabbi Akiva know that the Asher Lo Orasa comes for a distinction as opposed to Besula that comes to exclude a Be'ula? How do you know this is an exclusion and this is a distinction? That we bring in the Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, that this is Ishtani Gufa and this is Lo Ishtani Gufa. That's only point of intersection. Mishum dahasem ishtani gufa, hakalo ishtani gufa. Okay? And the fact that the Gemara uses the phrase, Rabbi Akiva shelo orasim yiboyle gzeira shava detanya, lav dafka. No, he's not using ashelo orasa for the gzeira shava. He's using moar habasulos for the gzeira shava. And what bothered the Gemara is how could he learn a pasuk on two planes? How can you say the word besula excludes be'ula? And asher lo orasa makes the distinction, but it's still a knas. How do you learn the pasuk on two planes? Here is ishtani gufa, and here is lo ishtani gufa. What the Rashba gains from Rav Shlomo Min Palyer is that then you could say, we don't, according to Rabbi Akiva, really ksuvas drabanan. That mor habesulos means chamishim kesef. Mor habesulos is talking about the knas that we pay. Mor Abisul, it doesn't mean ksuva. Really, we pass on Rabbi Akiva, and ksuva is the Rabbanan. So by the Sfardim, we have in the ksuva, Matayim Zuz, the Chazi Lichi, not the Chazi Lichi Midoraisa. It's coming to you. It's not coming to you in the Torah, it's coming to you Midrabbanan. According to the Ashkenazim, they understood Mapitam. Rabbi Akiva uses Asher Lo Orasa for the Gzeira Shava. Mor Abisulos is left over for the din of Ksuva Doraisa. That's a machlokes between Chachmei Ashkenaz and Chachmei Sfarad. Here, the Rashba brings in Rav Shlomo Minahar because this pshat helps him in another area. But in terms of our original question, how can you learn out two dinim from one pasuk? We have three answers. Rashi says we have two psukim, not one pasuk, two psukim. One din is learned out from each pasuk. According to Tosas HaRosh, we don't have two drashas. We have one pasuk, but we have pshat and drash. We have a mela mishtama, and we have a drash. And according to Rav Shlomo Minahar, we have two different drashas. We're learning out, we know it's from one pasuk, where each pasuk teaches one halacha. Asher Lo Orasa teaches us the din of la'atzma as opposed to her, and the din of chamishim shekel, the gzera shava, is learned out from a different pasuk altogether. Again, three different ways of dealing with the same problem. Okay, either introducing another pasuk, saying we have one pasuk, but we have pshat and drash, or saying that we have two totally different psukim, and one of them is used for the gzera shava, and the other is used for drasha. Yeah?
But according to the Rashba, the Gemara is still assuming at least that Rabbi Kiva de Braisa has a Zereshava plus there's a limud in the pasuk.
That would come. Okay. So In other words, I pointed out that we have the same issue in a number of contexts. So the first context that we saw was Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. Okay. What Adam is pointing out very properly is that didn't the Gemara do to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa exactly what we saw in Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah? Isn't the Gemara saying that according to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, from the word Asher Lo Orasa, we have two drushas? According to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, drusha number one, Chamishim Shekel. And drusha number two, that if she's an Arusa, if she currently is an Arusa, then she doesn't get the Knas. Right? That's Asher Lo Orasa. But if she's currently an Arusa, she doesn't get the Knas. And we have a Chiddush in Kama Midrabine that it applies even to the world of Knas. That's what bothered Tosis over here. Dibur Hamaskil, Arusa Baskilahi. The Gemara seemed to say, what do you need? You need a pasuk to tell you that she's currently in Arusa, she shouldn't get the money? Isn't that obvious? Isn't she about skila? V'yimtomer my kushalei ha'hashta lo nafik krami mashmausei v'ilo itzchich legufek shekein d'necha tfei d'gzera sheva mufna. L'chora, by saying that there's no need for such a drasha, wouldn't that make life easier? That it'd be, you know, is that the world of Arusa is obvious and we're using asher lo orasa only for the gzera sheva. Why is the Gemara over here saying no? We need over here that we have over here two drashos. Isn't two drashos an issue? Omeri dahachi perusho, arusa baskilahi. Isn't this obvious? V'kevan dlo itzrich lemidi elo gzera shava havi lemichtav asher lo arusa behedya. V'amai shani lemichtav asher lo orasa deika lemite lemeimar ha orasa laatzma. The bishlama da have ba'arusa shum chidush have yasi b'mashashina haloshan damrinan haide shana because of orasa lemedrash l'gzera shava asa pashtal chidusha aval hashta lamali. What Tosis points out over here is as follows. We have, the rules we've already seen. We could take the rules off a minute. We're working now with Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa holds Asher Lo Orasa, that in terms of her history, whether Orasa or whether Lo Orasa, it's all the same, the money goes to Aviyah. Right? So what then does he learn out from Asher Lo Orasa? He uses Asher Lo Orasa for a Gzeira Shavah to teach us Chamishim Shekel in both by Ones and by Mafata. The Gemara was bothered, but then what about the words? How does it fit into the words? You're just saying, you're just using this as a tool to compare two parashios, but what about the words themselves? So the Gemara says, and you can't say it means, there's a difference between Orasa and Lo Orasa, because then that's against his shita. His shita is that they both go to Aviyah in both situations. So the Gemara says it comes to exclude Gohotzi, not Orasa, but Arusa. Right? Orasa is past, and this is present. We're saying that if she, in the past, if she hadn't been Mu'reset, it goes to the father. But if she's currently Mu'reset, she's currently, technically, an Eishes Ish, then Ein Knas. These are the two dinim that are learned out. So Tosis was bothered, just a minute. In other words, and the Gemara says, isn't this obvious? And goes and says, no, it's not obvious. But in other words, what do we solve by having two dinim? We're now from the same pasuk. So Tosis says, no. This is the real drush. And this is only shinui lashon. Namely, the fact that the Torah used orasa and it wants to exclude Arusa, that's the Shini Lashon, from that we're learning it out. For that, it's, in other words, we need like a bit of a small Chiddush, but not a large Chiddush. We also have over here a Shini Lashon. This is not a problem to have a real drash and a slight Shini Lashon to teach us a halacha. This is okay. That's what we find over here in the Ritva. If you look in the Ritva also learns like Tosfos. Umahadrinan Devad, it's doing three lines from the bottom. Ktsas Tzrichusa Yesh. Miulot Tzrichusa Gomor. Namely, that this is not, in other words, that this din over here, that Arusa doesn't get a knas, this is relatively obvious. It's 99% obvious. If it's so obvious, why do we have a pasuk? Because of the 1% that we would have thought maybe a knas would apply even in a case of misa. Kamash Molandet, no. That's a tzrichusa ktsas. You can have a tzrichusa ktsas along with the gzera shava. You can't have a real drasha, shelo arasa, that we're going to transfer the money from the father to her. That you can't have along with the gzera shava. In order to have two real drashas, we need, like according to Rashi, two psukim. We need, according to the Rav Shlomo Menahar, two totally different, drashas, two totally different psukim, not just two parshios, but two totally different psukim. But over here, it's just like a Shini Lashon that you could, that's enough to learn a mini Chiddush. You have, this is a real Chiddush, it's a Chiddush Gomor, that we have the Gzera Shava, and this is a mini Chiddush. A mini Chiddush you could learn along with a Chiddush Gomor. That's not a problem. That's what Tosus is saying. Tosus calls it Shini Lashon. The Ritva calls it Tzrichus Ktsas. That's not considered to be an issue. Yes?
Is this saying that it's because of the Shini Lashon we're forced to make another limud?
Yeah, we're forced to make another limud thus of the Shini Lashon, and that is not soter the real drush. That is not soter the real drush. Okay, well, we have over here, we have the three previous tosas. Let's just point out what they're referring to. The top tosos is Tosos Yeshanim. Tosus Yeshanim goes back to a Havamina. The Havamina was that maybe according to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, who says that the Asherlo Orosa is the common denominator between the two Parshios and teaches us the din of Chamishim Kesef, maybe the word Besula is the common denominator. And really, there's no difference between a Besula and a Be'ula. Velo Nema'et Be'ula. In other words, you should realize that what you're reading in the Gemara, you don't have to clean your glasses to be sure that you got it right. That's what the Gemara is telling us. That will say that even if a person seduced a woman who had been a Be'ula, he would pay Chamishim Kesef. K'nemashem v'samach. Nira de Rabbi Akiva, Darish Gzeira Shava, Mikra. Mikra de Legufe. The Hainu Besula Kamaisa. Udiknas. Umefata, namely that according to this Havamina of Gemara, Rabbi Akiva would use the word Besula to teach us the Gzera Shava. That would be the whole meaning of the word Besula. Teach us the Gzera Shava. Aval HaBesulos, what would he do with the Moar HaBesulos? Dorish L'Ksuvas Besulos. This is the way that, again, that Tosos understood Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva really paskins that Ksuva is Doraisa. That which the Rashba wants to rail against and brings up Rosh Shlomo Menahar in his favor, the pashtus of the Gemara, according to Tosfos, is that Rabbi Akiva uses the drusha. That drusha that Rabbi Yosef Guli used in ours for Gzera Shava, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's for Ksuvas HaBesulos. V'lo shayach l'midrashe l'gzera shava. And so we can't use it for Gzera Shava like Rabbi Yosef Guli does, because it's already used. V'lo l'shem ribui. Now Tosfos was bothered, just a minute, we learned the whole sugya, that needed na'ar, na'ara, ha-na'ara, besula, besulos, ha-besulos, in order to learn out chiyuvei lavim, and chiyuvei asei, and chiyuvei krisus, etc. We see that according to Rabbi Akiva, these words are not free. He uses them for ksuva being doraisa. So he says, so in achinami, eiser, according to Rabbi Akiva, what's left is na'ar, na'ara, ha-na'ara, and the hay of ha-besulos, because the besulos itself is used for the ksuva, chad l'chiyuvei lavin v'asei, chad l'chiyuvei lavin mukrisus, v'ika gimel ribuyin, heida besulos, etc. And then he gets involved in how Rabbi Akiva would learn the previous sugya. But Tosis over here, Tosis Yishanim, is simply highlighting that the Shita of Tosfos is that Rabbi Akiva uses the concept of Kamor HaBesugos for the rule of Ksuva de Oraisa. This is what Rav Shlomo Ben Ahara went against and said, no. Rabbi Akiva learns that from Mor HaBesugos Gzera Shava. We don't have any Ksuva midoraisa. Really, Ksuva is Drabana. And just like Rabbi Yosef Glili learns out from Mor HaBesugos to Gzera Shava, so also Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, he learned it out from Asher Lo Arasa, but as we saw over there. But Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah not. So that's what we see over here in Tosfos, Yirmaskel Ve'ema. The next Tosfos, Ema Besuga Le Gzera Shava, Tosfos points out, V'tema, Tikshi Le Ema Travayu Le Gufayu, V'lo Le Gzera Shava. In other words, the Gemara has this sort of preconception that we need this Gzera Shava. Why not simply say that we should read the Torah the way that it's written? You need a Besuga, you need a Nara, and you need a Shelo Arasa. In other words, that you need these three things, like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, without bringing in any Gzera Shava. Why bring in a Gzera Shava to begin with? The Nira, the Hashas Kimlei, the Chad Minayel Gzera Shava. Namely, that there's axioms. Chazal had certain givens, Halacha Moshe Misinai, that were passed on through the generations. One of them was that we need something to link the Parsha of Ones and the Parsha of Befata, that there is a Gzera Shava. What is a Gzera Shava? That was sort of left open. So Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa learned Asher Lo Arasa, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili learned Moar HaBesulos, there is a Hava Mina, maybe it's the word Besula itself. We're not sure, but that's already a Kimle, it's a given. And so even though it leaves us sometimes, you know, like wondering what's pushing the Gemara, sometimes what's pushing the Gemara is not logic, what's pushing the Gemara is a Kabbalah, that they had a given. It's a given, there has to be a Gzera Shava. The only question is, where is a Gzera Shava? And Tosfos brings a Raya from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, also that the Gemara brings a Gzera Shava and rejects it, it's simply wrong. And then Gemara comes on to another Gzera Shava, like what pushed the Gemara over there so much that they had a given. They had a given that we're going to compare Navi Sheker to the Zakei Mamre. They just didn't know with what word they're going to compare. So they made a mistake and compared with one phrase, and then they came back to compare with another phrase. But both Gemaras only make sense if you assume that there was a given behind the scenes. Okay. The next Tosfos points out that our Gemara seems to assume that you can't have a Gzera Shava, which is going to be Oker, which is going to totally uproot Pshuto Shel Mikra. You can't have such a Gzera Shava. Mi as Gzera Shava, umashke mi pashte legamre. There has to be something within Pshuto Shel Mikra. So Tosis points out that l'chora we do find such a thing in a sugya in Yevamos, where they have a Gzera Shava of Tosha V'Sachir, that's against Pshuto Shel Mikra. It appears from that Gemara in Yevamos that Tosha V'Sachir do not eat a Korban Pesach, when in reality they do eat a Korban Pesach. So Tosfos brings it, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, no, that even that there's a certain Pshuto Shel Mikra, Toshav and Sacher don't have to be Jews who are Avadim, Eved Ivri, Eved Nirtza, but Toshav and Sacher could be Goyim. And then in Achinami, they cannot not eat the Korban Pesach, and you can learn the Gemara. But it's a question as to whether this is really a given. And so Tosfos ends up that it is a given. You can't have a Gezerah Shava that would totally uproot Pshuto Shel Mikra. If the Torah says Asher Lo Arasa, there has to be something in Pshuto Shel Mikra that is either going to be excluded, that is going to be derived, that is going to be differentiated, something you're going to need, aside from the Gzera Shava. And then, again, you get caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. The moment we say, oh, it comes to teach us X, so then how do you ground two things in the same Pasuk? Right? We get caught on both sides. You can't have that we don't have, that it goes against Pshuto Shel Mikra. But the moment that you go beyond Pshuto Shel Mikra, then it appears that we have two drushas. So it's a question of how to balance. So as you saw, Tosfos Harash balanced that there's a concept of pshat, which is not two drushas. That's one way of viewing it. Or we can have something that's a shimi lashon, which is like a mini drusha. It's not a real drusha, and the two can exist simultaneously. Okay, I see we're not going to get to the lumdus, so we'll leave it. The lumdus we'll talk about on Wednesday, the zil. Okay? We're not going to go further. I'll tell you exactly why. Because the next sugya is a sugya that we can't begin before Pesach and end after Pesach. Okay, so the next sugya itself, you'll learn in Yirtzeh Hashem when you have a chance. It begins with Abaye, Baal HaMeisa. The sugi is the concept of Yesh Beggar Bekever or Ein Beggar Bekever, if you can pass these out. These are not Marmakos, the next sugi. In other words, what you'll do is you'll learn the Gemara from Amar Abaye until the Mishnah, and then you'll spend your time on the Tosvos Yesh Beggar Bekever, the bottom Tosvos over here on Daf Lamed Chesem and Beis. There's a parallel Tosfos, as you see, Babakama Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. It's a very, very special sugya, a very nice sugya, but it's not something we can do and leave it in the middle. And then there's a sub-sugya, such a word, a sub-sugya, of birth control. We dealt with why people use birth control, but we didn't deal exactly with the means of birth control, with the molch, etc. That's a taptosis over here in Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph that deals with the molch. What kind of birth control is it? What are the parameters of hashkasas zera, etc. We'll talk about that. No, it's the bli neder, right? We'll deal with the first yesh beged bekever, leaving aside the issue of molch, and then we'll get back to the issue of molch. But what we'll talk about im yirtzeh Hashem on Wednesday is simply the machokas that I hope you saw between the Rush and the Rambam in terms of the nature of boshes and pegam. That our sugya distinguished between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, who does the knas go to in this arsa and isgarsha? What about the other payments? There are more payments than simply knas. There's also boshes and pegam. Do we also say that Rabbi Akiva would say that these also go la'atzma, or would these go la'aviha? Do we distinguish between different payments? So we discussed this overall, if you recall. We discussed the question as to whether boshes and pegam are general chabala dinim, or they're somehow unique to the world of ones umefate. And so if we have a drasha that limits the knas, would that also limit the boshes and the pegam, even if they're mammon? But do they have the same criteria or not? So what I did on the sheet was point out to you the other Rambams they have to take into account. Namely, the Rambam is a bit complicated in terms of that sometimes it appears that boshes and pegam are a subcategory of knas. They go hand in hand. And sometimes it appears it's totally independent. And so to try and figure out what's the rule, what is the... that there shouldn't be stiros in the Rambam, how does the Rambam view the uniqueness of this boshes and knas? In what way is it similar? In what way is it unique? So that's what we'll talk about Yirtzeh Hashem on Wednesday. Those of you, like everyone here, I think, is studying for Bechina on Thursday. Hopefully you'll be able to use your time also to study for the Bechina. And Bli Neder, the sugi of Yesh Beger Bekever, we'll deal with when we come back. We come back, this man officially begins on Tuesday, so the first shiur will be Wednesday. So that first shiur already, we will be dealing with Yesh Beger Bekever, so you can begin learning it already now. Don't wait till after Pesach, if possible. Okay, fine.